You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I think what we're seeing today, and it has certainly been thrown into very high relief by the horrific attack on Paul Pelosi, is not just an aberration where one or two people or a small group engage in that kind of violent rhetoric and urge people to take action against political figures like her, like me, like others. We're seeing a whole political party and those who support it, those who enable it, those who run under its banner, engaging in behavior that is so dangerous and I find frankly disqualifying for people who are running for office.
And we're off and running. That is Hillary Clinton trying to make herself still relevant and, of course, pushing the story, the narrative, that all Republicans and conservatives were gleeful that Paul Pelosi was battered in the head with a hammer. I'm telling you, they will continue to shove this in your face just like they did January 6th. This is November 2nd, 2022. I remind you, we are live streaming as I speak at Larry Connors USA on Rumble.com. Go to Rumble.com in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. That'll take you right to our Rumble page. And push live, and you're joining us in studio. Glad to have you. If you miss us live, you can always pull it up later. I notice more and more of you are pulling it up and watching it later. I appreciate all that support. Share with your friends. Let them know about it. And, of course, every day after we finish the program, we put them up as podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. All right, so here is Hillary. And, of course, they want to make you understand that their point is that all conservatives, anyone related to Trump, even independents, even Democrats who might actually be siding with Republicans this time around, if you vote for anybody in that category that falls under the R sign of any type, you're supporting more assaults upon people like the 82-year-old grandfather, Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. It was condemned repeatedly by numerous Republicans, those safely going to stay in their seats in Senate and House positions, and those in the running. Every one of them condemned it, said it was wrong. But a couple of them made remarks that now they're trying to say, see, they're mocking and laughing about this. It's not true. We went through it yesterday, but it bears repeating again. Just as when Hillary Clinton said, and I remind you of this, I repeated it constantly as she was running against Trump, when she just said everything we're seeing now and how they're acting and what they're doing, that should, I'm asking voters, you got to really consider, do you want to give them your vote? I think this disqualifies them for even being a candidate. That is Hillary Benghazi Clinton making that statement. Yes, I'm bringing that back up. You want to continue to push this narrative of anger and hate from the right, and you're going to ignore what's happened on the left, and then on top of that, you're going to ignore that your own remarks were when you were asked about the death of our U.S. ambassador and others at Benghazi. What the hell difference does it make now anyway? When she was in hearings, remember? Oh, I haven't forgotten. Hillary Benghazi Clinton. We'll get into that more. Plus now, we're being told if you complain about crime, you're a racist. Oh, we're going to have to get into that story. We're going to be joined later by Tyler O'Neill with The Heritage, also The Daily Signal. Twitter banning conservatives just before the midterm. Now, is Musk asleep at the wheel? Are these folks who were on the way out and still in office and they're suddenly putting bans on various Twitter accounts? We're going to get into that with Tyler O'Neill. We're also going to go back over the story that we've got many that locked us down, told us you have to take a shot or else. Now they want to give COVID amnesty. They want to say, well, we didn't know at the time. We're doing the best we could. No, it wasn't just that you were doing what the best you could. You were denying and canceling people because they didn't do what you told them to do. We're going to talk about amnesty again. You know how much I give? Are you watching on Rumble right now? That much. That much. And also an update on Lily's story. The 7-year-old that her father in Japan says she belongs with me. Her mother had gotten her out of Japan back to the U.S. and has been fighting to keep her here. We have an update on that story. You're not going to like it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least 3 people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program. John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
NBC News can confirm a Politico report that the leading House Republicans on the Oversight and Judiciary Committees are planning to hold a press conference the week after the midterms on where their investigation into Hunter Biden stands and what comes next.
That is a report from Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC talking about NBC confirming. Politico says, watch, as soon as the Republicans have control of the House and the Senate, they'll be issuing impeachment indictments. They'll be going after various leaders inside the Democrat Party, primarily the executive office, the cabinet members. Now, I know there are going to be many saying, well, it's not right. It's not right. It's not right? Let me put it this way. Is it right that this president and his Department of Homeland Security secretary and others have supported open borders, just let anyone in? In the midst of that, a massive methadone crisis for our nation, a minimum of 300 a day die in this nation because of drug overdose, and it's accelerated to that number because of the drugs coming across our open borders. Then you get into the story of child sex slavery, children being brought across. They may or may not be with a real parent or a true guardian. They may be used as a prop so they could get into the country easier. And then that child just disappears into the thick of internet porn, sex games, who knows? And they may or may not come out alive. If they come out alive, they're going to be severely traumatized. And this administration has endorsed, basically, drug smuggling into the U.S. and has endorsed child smuggling. Those are two felonies. Let me read to you a point to keep in mind. When the president takes the oath of office, let me read it to you as it appears. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And, of course, within that is also protecting our national security. Then you look at members of the cabinet, such as Mayorkas, head of Department of Homeland Security. Every government U.S. official makes this oath. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. If you've ever been inducted into the military, you also take that same oath. Both the presidential oath and the basic government oath talk about defending the U.S. against all enemies, foreign and domestic. What we have seen this Democrat leadership do, consider Trump and Trump supporters as domestic enemies. All right, they want to make that point. Let them wail away in the wind all night long. I could care less. There are some that should be locked up. Yes, on the far, far right. But they want to ignore all those on the left that are guilty of similar crimes just on the other side of the fence. And then at the same time, they're ignoring the basic tenet that as a government official or representative of this government, you're also to protect us from foreign enemies. That would be those coming across the border illegally. At last report, there have been 100-plus identified as being on terrorist no-fly list that came across our border. Those are the ones we caught. There are so-called getaways that we never have in custody whatsoever. And the way that happens, often they pre-plot. A bunch of illegals will cross at one point, tying up all of the Border Patrol agents along that line, and then they go in another area, knowing there are not enough agents to spread out. They're seen on video, caught on by drones, but you can't follow them once they get across. They just scatter. Now, how many of those you think that know that they're on a terrorist watch list choose to go that way as opposed to try to come in with the others illegally crossing and gathered up at the checkpoint? We're not vetting. We're not vetting any of them, really, when they come in. And that doesn't even get into how many we brought out of Afghanistan. We were going to make a promise, and we did, and to honor that promise, those Afghans who helped us there against the Taliban during our 20 years in war, we told them we would take care of them and their family because we knew the day we left, the Taliban would come in and start chopping their heads off. So we told them, we will get you out. We left an uncounted number behind, and yet we brought something like 80,000 into this country, and we were told they were being vetted before they got here. Then we found out, no, they really weren't, but they're going to be vetted here. But then while they're here, they're allowed to go off base or wherever they are and travel about. They may or may not come back. Both of those cases highlight again a good reason to hold hearings and possibly lead to impeachment and a conviction for violating the oath that they each took when they assumed office. But when the question is put to Adam Kinzinger, your Illinois Republican congressman, at the end of his term, he's not rerunning, 10 years in, he's out, looking for probably a cushy PR job or TV job or something like that. Maybe start his own radio show. Maybe we could compete together. I'd love to do that. This guy has an R behind his name, but he's not anywhere near R. He's gone down Democrat. He is one of the two that voted to impeach Trump, and he also has served on the January 6th committee, one of the two on there, along with Cheney, who's also not going to be sticking around because they're going to reject her. But Kinzinger said, when I heard this report from Politico that, as you heard Brzezinski say a moment ago, that they are going to move quickly to start taking action against members of the presidential cabinet and office and others for dereliction of duty, violating their oath, endangering the U.S. and U.S. citizens. His response, yeah.
I mean, it's zero surprise. This is, I think you are going to see an attempt to impeach Joe Biden. I say facetiously, but I may actually be right every week. There's always going to be somebody introducing a new bill to impeach Joe Biden. You know, and this is the moment. It's all about how can you drive online fundraising? How can you radicalize? This is what we have to push back against. We're in a pretty bad moment, and let's all stand up and say this is unacceptable for one moment on an easy alliance for democracy.
Yeah, I'll say it's unacceptable when it talks about using word and talk of impeachment for Joe Biden or cabinet members is fundraising. Riddle me this. Did he ever say that during the impeachment efforts against Trump? Did he ever say about Democrats out there that were campaigning and making hay and money on we're going to do this to Trump? Did he ever raise his voice one time? No. No, not really. And then, of course, you come to the issue that is dominating for many people. That would be inflation, the economy, and then crime. And we're going to focus on crime in more details in a moment. And down the road, at some point, abortion comes in. And for some, if it's an immediate concern, maybe it ranks higher. But the Democrats have been pushing abortion as maybe one of their rally flags. It's not working. They have been pushing January 6th as a rally flag. That's not been working either. And now they've been pushing the Pelosi attack. That's going to get us some extra votes. It doesn't appear it's doing that. You heard some reports on the network news at the beginning, but let me share with you some of the Fox News power rankings. And it says Republicans are winning on the economy and crime. No surprise, shouldn't be. And that translates into a decisive House majority of the Senate. And it's all about the toss-up races. Democrats still have a fighting chance to keep control, but this final edition of the Fox News power rankings sees that there are shifts in 18 competitive House races, 2 Senate races, 3 governor's races. So the House is expected to take control with a clear majority. A clear majority. A 19-seat majority minimum. That would be a gain of 23 seats. That's lower than what I've heard from others, up to 44 or higher. And then it gets into inflation and crime, still registering as the top issues of concern for voters. And that's why they favor the GOP by double digits. Now, when I say voters, I'm not just talking about Republicans. I'm not just talking about independents. I'm talking about Democrats as well. The Higher Heights poll, taken primarily focusing on black women, indicated that 70% to 80%+ of black women were more concerned about inflation than abortion. And, of course, they had concerns about crime. There are, in the Senate, they say, still coin flip races in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and all that will determine control. And it will. All of those are big races. The power rankings giving 47 seats to the Democrats, 49 to the Republicans. That leaves 4 crucial toss-up races to decide control. 4 highly competitive seats to play, tight margins in all of them. They say the Senate could go either way. But some of the latest numbers are indicating it's leaning more and more toward Republicans. And if you bring up the issue of crime, do you know what you get labeled now? New Jersey Governor Murphy says if you dare bring up the issue of crime, you're a racist.
The other guys play the crime card relentlessly and shamelessly. It seems every election. And the facts and their portrayal of the facts are in entirely different places. That doesn't mean that crime is not an issue. It doesn't mean that we're not focused on it. But I will just say in New Jersey this year, violent crimes, shooting, homicides are all down meaningfully between something like 15% and 30%. We invest deeply, not just here, but as a party in the relations between law enforcement and the communities they serve. We invest in law enforcement. So they're really good at playing the card. It reminds me, frankly, it goes back to Nixon's Southern strategy. It's got racial elements to it. Let's just call that for what it is. And here we go again. It feels like it's a movie that we've seen time and time again, and they're pulling that card out again this time.
Isn't it ironic that they would say that if you talk about crime, you're racist? Would that be because majority of crime has been shown to happen in the urban areas, specifically in the poor areas, and generally where the minorities live, try to live, and exist? You know, I feel truly for members of the minority community trying to raise their children and keep them safe in those areas. When you've got other Democrats out there, although they won't say it aloud right now going into the election, most of them don't mention that word. You know the word, that word, defund, don't use that word. So they tried to move away from it. But it's clear that the voters have seen, we know where you stand. Whether or not you try to change it now, we hear the gunshots at night. We see our children dying because they're standing in the bathroom. We're standing on a street corner for trick-or-treating, and somebody comes by, opens fire on them. I think that has caught up to the Democrats. It's not a racist issue. It's a crime issue. Oh, here's something else on inflation. This just happening, just before we went on the air. The Fed making history, a fourth straight three-quarter point hike. It was expected. It's official. A fourth straight hike of three-quarters of a percentage point. Now, how's that going to work out for your economy and your economics? Coming up again, Hillary blasting Republicans.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want voters to stop and ask themselves, would we trust somebody who is stirring up these violent feelings, who is pointing fingers, scapegoating, making a joke about a violent attack on Paul Pelosi? Why would you trust that person to have power over you, your family, your business, your community? So I want to take this a step further away from the incident, that terrible incident with Paul Pelosi, and broaden it out, because what we have with the rhetoric coming from the Republican candidates from their party right now is so disturbing. I didn't see a big outpouring on the part of elected officials to stand with Nancy Pelosi the way she has stood with Republicans as well as Democrats in times of real terror, like on January the 6th.
There's your terror, January 6th. She's going to find a way to work January 6th into the Paul Pelosi story. You know, there are still a lot of questions in my mind as to what happened with Paul Pelosi. I'll repeat again if I have to, just to make sure no one's misunderstanding. First, January 6th was wrong in the sense of the assault on the Capitol and battling Capitol Police. That was all wrong. But there's still no proof from anyone that Trump sent them down there. Believe me, if they had it, they'd be putting it in your face every day. So that doesn't exist. But what they can do is use it to smear all conservatives, anyone that might have voted for Trump or might think so or might consider, I want to make America great again. Whether or not you call me MAGA, I want America to be great again. Don't you? If you don't, hit the road, Jack. Now, the other thing about the Pelosi thing, we're not getting a lot of details. The details we got were kind of scrambled. And then I raised the question yesterday, where is the San Francisco police cam video of them going in? Because there was different stories. They say the door was open for them. And then they later, I don't know how they said they got in, but then there was no third person. And then how they were found when they were there, and then when police moved in, and then the guy starts attacking Pelosi, and what, they just stand there, or they decide to tackle him, they don't shoot him, they don't do anything at that point other than take him down. And then they point out on MSNBC today, there he was lying in his own blood for a long time until first aid could get to him. Well, maybe for an ambulance or paramedics to get there, but you have officers on the scene, so they probably were doing something, I hope. But I also raise the question, what about security in that home, cameras in the home, ones owned by the Pelosis for protecting their own property? And then you have also, since she resides there, you have live security cameras that feed direct to the U.S. Capitol police officers. Listen to this. The Washington Post says sources are telling them that when the guy broke into Pelosi's home, supposedly, U.S. Capitol officers were not watching the live feed of security cameras outside her home. Capitol Police learned about the attack after seeing flashing lights outside on the live feed. They supposedly put cameras inside her home 8 years ago to increase security, but they weren't monitoring the cameras because she was not at the house at the time. And her 24/7 detail, security detail, was with her in D.C. I have another question here. So you have cameras here. Are you telling me you're not recording at the same time it's going live? Are you going to sit there and tell me that those cameras are live, but we don't really record them? You don't have any recordings to show what happened? Anyone out there buying that story? Anyone? Bueller? Anybody? You know there's tape of what happened. And the Capitol Police have it. They're now fully acknowledging, yeah, we have cameras in there, but we didn't see the live. We weren't watching at the time. Shame on us, we weren't watching. But Nancy wasn't there. No reason to watch. Where's the tape? Washington Post does report Pelosi's home security supposed to notify police was tripped, but the Capitol Police say we never got it, and it's unclear if it was tripped for local police. Yeah, confusing. Coming up, Lily's story, the little girl that the mom wanted to stay here being sent to Japan.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota. For all customers and employees, Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Sarah Saruta is fighting to keep her daughter, 7-year-old Lily.
I just want to do whatever I can to protect my daughter. Like, what kind of mother would I be if I didn't, you know, protect her?
Lily was born in Miami, Florida, the daughter of Sarah and now Saruta. The family lived internationally in the United Kingdom as well as Japan, where the couple married in 2018. But to Sarah, Japan was never really home.
This is not where I want to raise our daughter. That's not where I'm going to live. My home is in St. Louis.
Which is why she and her daughter escaped last year. But that decision landed her in federal court, facing accusations of international child abduction.
But I didn't abduct my daughter. I ran for my life.
We need to credit Channel 4 in St. Louis, KMOV, for that report, and we're going to have another clip of it in a moment. It all goes back to the story of Sarah Saruta and her 7-year-old daughter, Lily. The report you just heard set things in motion, but there have been some new developments. And that is, as you heard, she said, I did not abduct my child. I got out of there with my life and her life because we did not want to stay in Japan. Now, here's another part of the Channel 4 report. Again, the credit to them for the base story.
The U.S. Embassy helped the mother and child obtain the documents needed, and the two rushed to Tokyo's Haneda Airport.
It was $13,000 to get us home. Since then, you know, I've been fighting for my daughter and I's life.
Sarah filed for divorce. Then, 5 months later, she was served with a petition to return the child under the Hague Convention.
The Hague Abduction Convention is a treaty that was concluded in 1980.
Attorney Aaron Lucan specializes in Hague Convention, an international law dealing with child abduction.
There are cases handed down by courts across the country every day.
Last week, a federal judge ruled in favor of Now Saruta, determining based on evidence that Japan was the habitual residence of Lily Saruta immediately prior to her removal.
She's never even been away from me, her one day, not one day. And now this ruling says that whether I go with her or not, they're going to send a 7-year-old on an airplane to Japan by herself, and I'm never going to see her again.
We asked the expert, how can a U.S. citizen be forced to do this?
Because it's not about the country so much as parental rights.
According to Hague Convention, a key factor is determining habitual residence.
Where does the child live? And that's a very tough determination to make when you've got the father's view of the matter and the mother's view of the matter, and in the middle somewhere lies an accurate or objective viewpoint.
All right, that's all in the past, and that was weeks ago, and now there's been a decision by the court as based upon the Hague Convention and where Lily, the 7-year-old, will reside. And joining us now online is her mother, Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah, welcome online. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Now, we just went through the details leading up to it, and you were waiting for a decision on the court that might keep Lily here in the States. What is the latest, and when did he come down?
Yeah, so, sorry, Larry. We asked for the appellate court to approve. Basically, I begged the appellate court to approve the stay, so Lily could stay here while this is being goes to the Court of Appeals, which we can't even file for the Court of Appeals for the appeal to November 14th. And now, this week, now Saruta's lawyer has basically threatened me, saying that if I don't produce tickets by yesterday, then they're going to force the hand of someone to come get my daughter from me and take her to Japan, with or without me. I can't go to Japan. I'm a foreigner. And he knows that. The judge knows this. The judge knows that, you know, we ran for our lives, that we both have been abused. The appellate court knows this, that we've both been through so much. You know, we escaped from this country.
So the bottom line is, again, you still don't have, has the court given you a final ruling, or are you being told by his lawyer that you got to put her on a plane as of yesterday?
Yeah, they're filing it today. They're filing for, it's called a snow, which basically they're going to ask for the judge to make a determination. It could be immediately. It could be in 14 days. But the way this judge wrote it, when they normally write this, they will give you a date. But she said both parties have to come to an agreeable time for the child to be returned. However, he's now all of a sudden he's not talking to me. He's not speaking to his daughter. I've tried reaching him for the last month, trying to work something out with him. That was okay. The judge's order, okay. And now there's nothing.
All
so
right. Now, again, and I've told you before when we previously had the interview, we get a lot of he said, she said, especially domestic cases, and my greatest concern is Lily, and you say that is your greatest concern.
Yeah.
Right now, you were indicating to me on the communication yesterday that she is going to be getting on a plane without you and going to back to Japan. Is that accurate now, or is it changing again?
Yes, I mean, I'm still waiting. I can't afford it. His lawyer knows that. My lawyer knows that. Everything is going towards this fight. Keep my daughter safe here with me. Because, you know, I don't understand why they would send a child back to the same person that we escaped from. It doesn't make any sense.
So what happens at this point? Is she going to be put on a plane and sent back to Japan, or you won't know until November 14?
No, November 14 is when we file for the appellate court three judges above this
trial
judge. All
right, so you're still in an appeal. You're still in appeal then, is what you're telling me.
Right, but the stay was denied twice. So they denied it, and so within a few days, they're going to come just grab her from me. I don't have no idea what's going to happen yet. I'm just waiting to hear something from the judge in the next few days. So either way, they're going to force her to get on a plane by herself. I'll probably never see her ever again.
And when you say that, why do you say you'll never see her again? I mean, you will have, you say you can't go to Japan. You can go to Japan.
Right now, with what's going on, the COVID restrictions, I can't go there, and I can't stay in the same house that I was abused at, and he's not communicating with me.
All right.
And I have
so you're
no
saying
idea.
Because of Japan COVID restrictions, you can't go right now.
Right. Also, I'm a foreigner, so even if I went, I have to have a visa to go there. I can't work there. I don't speak the language. I have no way of providing for myself or providing for my daughter, and he's not going to comply. He won't even speak to me.
That, you know, you raise a point there that it is worth restating. Many countries, if you're going to come in there, you got to prove that you have a job and you're going to do something, as opposed to what we're doing, the open border. And I'm not trying to throw that argument all into it.
No,
just,
I know.
Just the difference in the countries. But here's the bottom line then, as I see it right now. She's still with you, but you don't know for how much longer. And if the court goes the other way, she will, in fact, be sent back to her father in Japan, and you say you won't see her again until she apparently gets of age and she can make her own determination to come back, or he agrees to bring her. Is that correct?
That is correct. And also, I did some research that even if the appellate court overturns this, that I read 14 cases that children were sent back to Japan, that they won't enforce this. They won't take her from him like they're going to take her from me. But they, like, I have to follow the rules, and I'm, you know, Lily and I are both victims. I'm trying to save my daughter. You know, we haven't done anything wrong, but yet I'm going to be punished for trying to keep my daughter safe. But yet if she goes back there and this gets overturned, they're not going to force her to come back.
Now, you know, I do not have his side of the story, but I am sure he would say she'll be fine and she'll be safe with me. And I'm not going to try to get into the tit for tat between you and your husband.
I know that.
But his opinion would be that she will be safe, and I'm sure he must have convinced the court of that. And if the court goes along, you think they're ignoring the real? Let me put it this way:
yes.
Have they put her safety at the forefront in your opinion?
Yes, they are. It's called the grave risk factor. The judge knows that she's been abused by him. The judge knows that he's abused me. All the details. I was up on.
That's all in court.
It's all in court. It's all in documents. They know this. The appellate court knows. They all know this. But yet they're going to send this child back to the person that has been abusing both of us. It makes no sense to me at all. So.
All right, well, Sarah, thank you for taking time to bring us up to speed on it, and we'll continue to watch and see what happens as of November 14, unless there's another extension on your case. But I thank you for taking time, and as I said previously, my prayers and concerns for all involved, and certainly for the safety of Lily. Thank you very much. Sarah,
thank you, Larry.
You bet. Sarah Cerruto. A young girl named Lily, 7 years old, based on what she's saying at this point, she will lose custody, and she'd been accused of abducting her own child to get out of Japan and come back to the U.S. Child was born in the U.S. We've covered that ground before if you missed previous stories, but Hague Convention apparently is involved, and it brings in a whole new set of rules. So, coming up, we talked about this also yesterday, about granting amnesty for those who locked you down and told you that you have to get a shot or you're going to lose your job, and who mocked you and made fun of you. Are you willing to step aside and say, okay, it's all good now? Stand by. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton. People, keep on learning.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So once again, we were talking yesterday, and I felt we should spend more time on it again today, about some are now calling for an amnesty reference COVID. In other words, for all those who mocked you and laughed at you because you wouldn't get the shot, or called you names and said that you're a danger to society because you wouldn't mask properly, you didn't want to mask at all, and you fought against masking children, now they want to say, yeah, we did the best we could. We were working what we knew and what we understood. And, of course, a lot of the information and misinformation came direct from the CDC and Dr. Fauci himself. And it's since been acknowledged that, yeah, we didn't have to do a lot of that, and it was bad for kids. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Are you surprised? I'm not, and I know you're not either. When you mask kids up and you put them in Zoom learning, that ain't going to work. They're going to learn to speak like that. They don't know. They're going to use the word ain't a lot because nobody told them you don't use ain't like Larry Connors does. I ain't going to do it much more, but I will still. But here's the issue. It wasn't just that they were confused and they didn't know what they were doing, and they want to say, give us some amnesty because we were doing the best we could. It was more than that. It was what you were doing to Americans, citizens, children, the elderly and the young, separating them, not letting them even attend a funeral or be in the hospital with them as someone is dying. It's what you did to us that is where the break point on amnesty falls short to give you amnesty for what was done. I understand if you don't have all the facts or you're operating on poor facts, which we were told only the public is stupid, only those at the top have the real facts. Let me give you a couple things. I'm looking at one piece written by And the Atlantic, the far left Atlantic, is helping join this call for, we need to have amnesty for those who were taking part in ordering you to lock down and wear a mask. They did the best they thought they could. If they were doing the best they could have been open to a lot more suggestions and consider other people instead of shouting them down. Here's a piece a guy wrote talking about this issue from publication All Sides. He said, in April 2020, with nothing else to do, my family took an enormous number of hikes. We all wore cloth masks, which I made myself, with a family hand signal, which a person in front would use if someone was approaching the trail and we needed to put on our mask. Once when another child got too close to my then 4-year-old son on the bridge, my 4-year-old yelled at him, social distancing! He said, of course, no one got the coronavirus from simply passing us. I'm looking at another piece written by Bethany Mandel, a writer, contributing writer for the Desert News. And she said, perspective, the case against pandemic amnesty, washing our groceries was silly. You remember doing that? Keeping children shut out of school was harmful, and people should be held to account. And they're talking about how the high school body president had his graduation caps, gowns, honor cords, yard signs all sent out to seniors at their high school, but they weren't going to let them gather for their ceremony. I remember passing one school. They had pictures of all the seniors hung on a fence around the school, so at least you could see them in cap and gown, but they were not able to have it. The Brown economist Emily Oster is with the Atlantic writing for it. She was arguing for the pandemic amnesty, saying we need to forgive one another for what we did and said when we were in the dark about COVID. That would be tugging at my heartstrings because I'm all about forgiveness and giving second chances. God has given me more than I deserve, and I'm a sinner still to this day, and he continues to give me amnesty and allowances and grace. But if I continued on a road to destroy people, kill and maim and murder, I think his patience would run out. And for a citizen, a common person, compared to God, my patience has run out with a lot of these people. When she notes that in the Atlantic, some of these choices did turn out better than others. And the latest figures on learning loss are alarming. But we cared about children. That's why we were doing it. Then why didn't you let the parents make the decision? This is the same argument we're getting from the woke cult right now. We know what's best for your child, that we will teach them what they need to learn at age 3 to 6. And if it involves sex or transsexual queens dancing in front of them, then that's all good learning and education. I'm sure at some point they will be saying, oh, we're sorry, we were wrong to do that. We just didn't know. We've told you repeatedly, it's wrong. It is wrong, and we've got to put a stop to it. This program, if I do nothing else with this program, I'm going to stand to absolutely defend the unborn, and I'm going to stand against predators looking to take advantage of our children and push this kind of CRAP on top of them. We're going to put a halt to it. In fact, it's time that the woke be put to sleep. You interpret that the way you want. For those watching on Rumble, sorry I got a little bit over the top. For those listening, sorry, but then again, I'm not. And coming up in the next hour, more on how the Pelosi attack is going to be weaponized going into the final days of the election. Are you going to buy into it?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.